Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're all keeping well. Delighted to have another former Spurs player join us on this week's Last Word on Spurs. Before I introduce him, delighted to have back alongside me for this one, Jamie from the Daily Hotspur. Jamie, how are you?
Yeah, very excited for this show today.
Yes. So we've been rolling back the past. We've brought a lot of ex-Spurs players on recently. And what we love to do with ex-players is be able to give them their chance to tell their story where maybe they haven't had that opportunity in the past. Now, this was a player that played for Spurs during that period where we were managed by Martin Jol. It was the evolution of Tottenham. So I'm pleased to welcome to this week's Last Word on Spurs, Ricardo Rocha joins us. Ricardo, how are you?
Hello, guys. I'm good. I hope you guys as well. Everybody at home with their families. I hope everything is good. You know, we're living in difficult times, but we have to get through this as quickly as possible and well.
I agree. And Ricardo, we are pleased to have you join us. And you are such a humble man that when I was first interacting with you, you said to me, why would people want to maybe hear about my story at Spurs? It didn't go too well. So we're really, really pleased to have you on to be able to tell your story, your journey at Spurs, and also your career. Because, I mean, you've played with some wonderful players, the likes of Rui Costa, Luis Figo, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, you've won championships, you've won cups, and, you know, you've played for your country. And you know, that has been an illustrious career. You're a cult hero at Portsmouth as well. And of course, you play for the mighty Spurs. So we want to take you back through your career, talk about your journey. And I think this will be a very, very fascinating show. And we'll start with the fact that you were born in Sant'Anterso, Porto District. What was that like for you growing up? And did you always know from a young age you was going to become a professional footballer?
I have an arm ball. As a childhood, you know, I wanted to be a professional player, but I knew it was going to be very difficult. I played in the very small club near my city, Sant'Anterso, and it was really difficult. I was a goalkeeper until I was like 13, and then in one training, the manager said, just go in front and see what you can do. And I scored a few goals. And then I was just dropping on the field until I got to the position of central defender, and for me was great. And then I had the opportunity to play for Famalicão. You know, my manager took me there to make some trainings, and they got me. And then it was a bigger club, so the opportunity was there for me, and I just worked my the best I could, you know, because you have to work a lot to chase your dreams. So I advise everyone to follow that, to follow your dreams and fight for it, you know, and work for it. And I got the opportunity, and I just keep it going, you know. Then I went to Braga, which is a great team here in Portugal. We played them as Spurs in the Europa League at the time. When I got transferred to Spurs, which is a great team, played there for 3 years, and then I got my move to Benfica, which is you know, the the biggest club in Portugal and my childhood club. So to play for them, to win titles, it was the dream come true.
First club, as you mentioned, was Famalicão. You started there back in 1997. You obviously went on to make 54 appearances for the club. What kind of experience did you gain from that, and how did you learn from that experience of playing at your first professional club for the rest of your career? What did you learn from that?
Well, it was great because, you know, I was so young, 18, and at the time Famalicão was playing, I think it's like the League One in England. Here in Portugal, it was like the League One here in Portugal. So it's always difficult to play in those divisions because you play against so many experienced players, and you get used to that and you get experience from that. You know, I made one good season, even though, and people will be shocked with this, I was in the army at the time. Half the season I was in the army, so I was not training in the week during the week. During the week I was in the army, so at the weekends I could come home. So I would come home and play for Famalicão and then go back to the army again. So it was incredible because in the end of that season I was bought by Braga. You know, I was a little bit confused because I was just playing every weekend and not training, but I was fit. So, you know, to be bought by a team like Braga, you know, in the first division was a big step for me. Even though I had to come back the next season to Famalicão and to play regularly, and then in the next year Braga made we call here the B teams. You know, they play in second division, like the Championship in England. So I had the opportunity to play in the second league in Portugal with the Braga B. And that gave me even more experiencing playing every weekend. And then I got the chance, you know, and football and everything in life is about opportunities. I was called to the first team. One of the central defenders was injured. The other was punished at the time because he got at the time the video you could get booked for the video images. So the manager gave him the opportunity. I played against a big team at the time was Sporting. We won, and then I stayed with the first team through the next 2 years, and then went to Benfica.
On your move to Braga, Ricardo, you know, during that two-year period, you really made a name for yourself, turning into the perennial UEFA Cup qualification candidates with them. You made your Premier League debut during that 1999-2000 season. Is that the period where you truly believe that you'd be able to compete at the very top professionally? Is that where you really felt you made that breakthrough as a player?
Yes, I think it's when you know you have the chance and you have to take it. You have to give everything you have because there's not many opportunities like that. So I had one opportunity, I took it, and then I was just building myself, trying to learn every single game, even with the more experienced players in the team, you know, playing regularly or as much as I could, and build up my name, build up the way I was playing, because at the time was completely different from now, football. And you know, I played a lot in those two or three seasons with Braga. It was a very good upper table club here in Portugal, playing the Europa League as well. And then I got my dream move to Benfica.
You got that dream move. You of course moved there in December 2001. So obviously the move came pretty swiftly after you just joined Braga. I mean, firstly, what an experience that must have been to play for one of the biggest clubs in your own country. And kind of, how did that move come about?
Well, I signed my contract in December, but I just went in the end of the season because at the time, Braga was having some financial problems. So Benfica came and bought three of us, me, Tiago Mendes, who played for Atlético, Chelsea, and another player. But Braga only let two of us go, and I had to stay. So it wasn't easy because, you know, when things like that happen, if things don't go well during the rest of the season, they will they will look at you and make you guilty of anything that happens, you know, because they'll say, oh, you already have a contract with another team, so you just don't care, you know. And it was really difficult for me because I was giving my best, but as I had a contract with Benfica already, people were always pointing at me with the things not going well for Braga. But then, you know, arriving in Benfica, which I told you guys was my childhood club, it was just amazing, you know, to play there. In the beginning, it was very difficult because people already knew me. So wherever I went, people would recognize me, speak to me, and I was like, whoa! And the pressure was huge, you know. Everywhere we went, training or playing, you know, even if it was here in Portugal or abroad, you know, there's always Benfica fans everywhere. That's why I tell you guys, it's the best team in Portugal. And for me, it was just amazing. I had the 4.5 years, amazing, you know, winning titles. And for me, it was a big pleasure and an honor.
You mentioned there, Ricardo, that your move wasn't made official. It was the following year after it was made official in the June. How much did it help you, though, when you initially moved with Armando Sarr and Thiago? Did it help having already players that you already knew in the camp? Did that kind of help you adjust, help you settle very quickly to Benfica?
Yeah, that's a good question because it really helps you because they know the reality of the club. They know the pressure. You know, they know everything related to the club, to the city, because I moved to a different city. You know, they know all the places, all the people in the club. You know, they are supportive, and it's very important when you go to a different team to have somebody that can help you with that. You know, and for me, a good thing I had was in the end of that season with Braga, Benfica went to play some games after the season finished to Angola and to United States. So they invited me to go with them, you know, to know the players and know the reality of the club. And I think that was really important to me to feel welcome, to know the reality of the club and to get ready for the next season.
You spent 4.5 seasons there at Benfica. You made over 157 appearances for the club, scored 3 goals. Including 33 European appearances. Were you happy with how your time went at Benfica?
Yes, it was just amazing, you know, play for my childhood club, you know, winning titles. I won a championship, I won a Super Cup, and I won a cup. You know, amazing times I had during that 4.5 years. Different managers, you always learn a little bit with every one of them. Ronald Koeman, you know, Giovanni Trapattoni, Camacho, who was a player and a manager of Real Madrid, Josualdo Ferreira in Portugal, you know, playing Champions League, playing Europa League, going quarterfinals of the Champions League against Barcelona, you know, quarterfinals of Europa League against Inter Milan. You know, that's huge things that I lived in the club, you know. And special as well was when I won the championship with the club, Benfica were 11 years without winning a league. So, you know, it was just, I can't describe you guys the feeling that was winning the league with Benfica, you know, having thousands of people in the streets celebrating with us. And we played our, just for you guys to know, the season 2004-2005, we won the league. And we played in Porto. So we stayed in Porto until 4 o'clock in the morning. So we went with the airplane to Lisbon, which is an hour in the airplane. We arrived at the Stadio of the Estádio da Luz, Benfica Stadium. It was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We had 50,000 people waiting for us there. You know, just for you guys to see how crazy it was and how special it was.
I want to pick you up on that, what you said there, being special and crazy, because also during that period you were there, that the 25 appearances in that 2004-2005 league campaign, that ended an 11-year drought and you conquered the national championship as you was becoming known personally, Ricardo, for developing a fierce stopper with a good marking ability. What was that feeling like to win the title? It had been over a decade for Benfica. explain to us as a player, where you're in the game, it must all be about winning. What is that feeling like to win trophies? That must feel like the pinnacle of your career.
Yeah, it's just indescribable. Honestly, I cannot tell you in words how you feel when you win a league title and how special it was for the fans. You know, they were dreaming about that for 11 years. You know, and for us players to conquer that, it was a difficult year for us all. We had some issues during the season. We lost a lot of games. Porto and Sporting lost a lot of games as well. But you know, we kept it together, the dressing room, and it was just amazing and something I will never forget.
Now, one of the appearances that you made on 28th of March 2006, you came up against Barcelona in the Champions League. That game you drew 0-0. But one of the people you had to mark was Ronaldinho, and of course you did a very good job in doing that. You kept a clean sheet in that game. What was it like that sort of game and having to come up against a player like that?
Yeah, it was just amazing, you know, because it was really funny because at the time the manager Ronald Koeman came to me and said, "Look, you know, our right back is injured, so I'm thinking about putting you against Ronaldinho, which was the best player in the world at the time." And I was like, "Okay, I'll do it. I have no problem with that." So when the press started to mention my name as the player that was going to mark Ronaldinho, all the fans were like, "Oh, no, that's not possible. No, Ricardo will be out with a red card after 5 minutes. You know, he will kick him. You'll be very hard with him and we'll be in trouble." So Ronaldinho didn't do anything in the game. I didn't make any foul. And he congratulated me in the end of the game because he said, you know, normally my opponents are hard on me. They try to foul me. They try to injure me. But you were loyal. So I have to congratulate you for that. And I was like, okay, thank you. I just tried to do my job and I did it right, you know.
What was your concentration like, Ricardo, for that game? What was it like? I mean, your eyes must have not left his boots all game. What was that like for 90 minutes? How do you get into that mindset?
Yeah, the mindset was everything that the fans said during the week, you know. And I was like putting that and it was giving me strength, you know. Giving me the power of the ability to go there and prove myself and prove to everybody else that I could do it, you know. And I do it and I did it in the best way possible. And I was just, you know, wherever he was, I was there. And sometimes he would push me and say, go away. And I was like, no, I have to be with you all the time, you know. You need to be very focused and concentrated. And thank God everything went well, you know, in that game. Then we had the second leg in Barcelona where we played well as well. But, you know, they won 2-0. But we gave a great image of the club and we gave everything we had.
Portugal, you made six in total. Yeah. You, of course, made your debut in a 2-0 win over Scotland in a friendly match. Obviously, you were teammates with the likes of Rui Costa and Figo at the time. I mean, what was the must have been absolute pride for you to have played for the national team? And then what was it like to play with players like Rui Costa and Figo?
Well, for me, it was an honor and a pleasure to play for my country and to play, you know, for me to be in the dressing room with Figo, Rui Costa, Fernando Couto, Pauleta. For me, it was just amazing. You know, I would be in my corner. I wouldn't speak to anyone because I was just looking at them and see, oh, how is this possible? You know, but I was just trying to enjoy it the best I could. I think I could have made more appearances in the Portugal team. At the time, we had some amazing defenders. It wasn't easy. And I think with not being successful at Tottenham was difficult to make me have more games for Portugal. But, you know, for me, even if I had one appearance for Portugal to play for my country, it would be nice. I had the opportunity to play to play six times for Portugal. And, you know, it was a great honor and a pleasure. And very special as well, of course.
Now, Euro 2008 qualifying, you made the three appearances. You started against Azerbaijan in a 3-0 win, Poland in a 2-1 defeat, and then you came on vs Finland in a 1-1 draw. Cristiano also played during that period. What was it like playing one of the best players in the world? And for you, did you notice at that moment, God, this guy is truly world class?
Yeah, we could see how good he was, even when he was at a young age at Sporting, you know. And when he went to Manchester, that's when he really took off, you know. And then to Madrid, he was in another level. But you could see it in the training, you know, his mentality, his work rate, you know, all his, you know, the train would, and he would stay there, you know, just shooting and making fouls, everything, you know. And you could see how much he wanted, and the way he worked. To be so, he was always, even younger, he was always an example to all of us, and you could see he would be even better in the future as he did.
The 3-year absence between making your debut and then those European qualifying games, were you slightly disappointed that you didn't make more than six appearances for the national team?
Yes, I was, but I told you a while, you know, at the time, Portugal had a lot of very good defenders, you know, Ricardo Carvalho, Fernando Couto, Jorge Andrade. So it was very difficult to be you know, called for the national team. And I was a little bit surprised because I won the league with Benfica, and I thought I had the ability and the capacity to play more for Portugal. But, you know, that's it's always choices from the managers, and you have to respect those choices. You know, they have the ones they like, they have the ones they think are the best for the goals that the national team had. And I just had to do my job, you know, work as the best I could, do well at my club, and waiting for the call for the manager. And if it didn't happen, I had to move on. You know, I thought I could have played more, even if it was just one time. You know, that would be enough for me, because having the opportunity to play for my country, the honor, and that was the best for me, and I had that.
Now, on the 17th of January 2007, Ricardo, stories hit the Portuguese and English media confirming that a move to Tottenham Hotspur was a possibility. The following day, Portuguese newspapers reported that the move was imminent following a meeting in Lisbon between Spurs chairman Daniel Levy with a former player turned agent Ronnie Rosenthal and the Benfica president, with a price of €5 million, which equates to £3.2 million in Great British pounds, plus two friendlies between the clubs, which will be arranged, with Benfica receiving all the profits from the gate receipts and television money being arranged. I have to ask you, how early did you know about Spurs' interest, and was you immediately attracted to the club?
I knew about the offer from Tottenham only in January. You know, I was doing a great season with Benfica, playing really well, scoring goals. We did well in the Champions League. I knew after, when I was at Tottenham, that they saw many games of myself playing in the Portuguese league and in the Champions League. So I thought it was a great opportunity to play in the Premier League. I had a dream to play in the Premier League, and when Tottenham came with an offer, I was like, you know, I was 28. I thought, you know, this is my big opportunity. I spoke to the Benfica manager at the time, which is the national team manager now, Fernando Santos, and he told me, no way, you cannot go. And I was like, oh, please let me go, it's my opportunity. And he said, no, I will tell the president no. I spoke with the president and he said no. So I thought it would not happen. But then Tottenham, I had the call from Daniel Levy's asking, do you really want to play for us? And I said, yes, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for me. I always had a dream to play in the Premier League, so I think this is it. And then he made the deal with Benfica president. Even though during the rest of the season, in the Portuguese press, the Benfica manager Fernando Santos said that the Benfica didn't win the league in that year because I left in January, which is unbelievable. Which is unbelievable, you know.
Ricardo, you mentioned Daniel Levy there. Can I ask you, I mean, you said you spoke to him. How involved was he at the time about the transfers? It's always intriguing when we get ex-players on to try and maybe understand and decipher who was brokering the deals. Now, you was coming to Spurs in a period where Damien Comoli was there, obviously in turn in charge of like the kind of director of football model.
I just spoke. Damien Comoli was trying to make the deal, but the Benfica manager didn't want me to go, and the president was a little bit reluctant on letting me go. So I think it was when Daniel Levy really took over and tried to make the deal. I tell you, I only spoke one time with Daniel Levy, and it was that time when he called me and said, do you really want to come to Spurs? I said, yeah. I think it's my opportunity to play in the Premier League, so I really want to go. And they tried their best to make the deal, and they did.
So you're saying, Ricardo, that was the only time during your period at Tottenham, even when your contract came to an end, that's the only time you actually spoke to Daniel Levy and had any kind of communication with him at all?
Yes, that was the only time I spoke with Daniel Levy. During my time at Spurs, I didn't speak with him anymore.
You joined Spurs in January 2007. You joined for an undisclosed fee, believed to be around £3.3 million, on a 3.5-year deal. At the time, you spoke very highly of the club. You said that you dreamt of playing in the Premier League for a long time, and that you were very excited to join a big, big club like Tottenham, and that it was a dream come true. Great Cup tradition team. So how well in Portugal is Spurs known? Does Spurs have a good reputation in Portugal?
Yes, they do. They're seen as one of the best teams in England. So they have a lot of supporters here. And you know, as I told you, and there's a few Portuguese players that played in Spurs as well, Pedro Mendes, Postiga, Domingues. So it's a well-known club in Portugal and one of the in England, and one of the best in England. So everybody knew it was a great club. So that's why I said, and I really meant it, that it was a great opportunity for me to go to the Premier League and play to a club like Spurs.
Now, at that time, Ricardo, when you were joining Spurs, we were trying to kind of really break into that top four. We had that finish under Martin Yol the season before, which was obviously fifth place, but we were trying to, you know, try and get up against the likes of Man United, the Chelsea's, the Arsenal and Liverpool. From an outside, looking in, when you were joining Tottenham, did you genuinely believe that Spurs could actually break into that top four?
I think it was much difficult at the time to be closer to the top four. You know, but I think the goal at the time, if I remember well, it was to get to a place where we could play Europa League, you know, and try to build up and do better in the next season. That was the goal. Already the goal was to get as closer as possible to the top four and fight with them. But at the time, I think Spurs was not as ready as they are now or as they were in the last few seasons.
Hello and welcome back to the second half here of The Last Word on Spurs. Delighted to be joined by Jay from the Daily Hotspur, and we've got former Spurs player with us, Ricardo Rocha. Jay, I'm going to hand over to you to ask you to discuss with Ricardo Damien Comoli's role at Spurs.
At the time, Damien Comoli was Spurs' sporting director. Now, he spoke very highly of you at the time. He said you were an accomplished defender. He said that you're a player that can play in different positions, such as centre-back, right-back. Of course, you can bring a lot of experience to Spurs. That's what he was saying. How influential was Damien Comoli in bringing you to Spurs, and what kind of relationship did you have with him?
He was really important for me to make the move. I remember he went to Lisbon to have a chat with me to see if I was interested in going to Spurs, explaining a little bit how the club was, the fans, you know, the goals, the or the project that the team had for the for the future. They needed some experience. You know, they saw a lot of games of me, and they wanted to bring me and be part of the team. So you know, as I told you guys before, I thought it was a great opportunity for me to play in a great team like Spurs in the Premier League, and have that that knowledge and that opportunity to play in the Premier League. But you know, I have a good relationship with Komoli. I can give you some details that what happened in the future. I had no problems with him, but at some times during my period at Spurs, he could have helped me more and the club at the same time. But you know, that those are situations that happened in the clubs, and decisions that are made at the time. And you know, we always learn with them, good or bad.
Are we able to ask you, Ricardo, to give us an example where you feel maybe if a certain thing wouldn't have happened or may have been different, it may have changed your period at the club? If you can give us an example, maybe?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was, I can explain. For me, it was, I thought I was ready to go to the Premier League, Tottenham. You know, I thought I could handle everything. But to be honest, going in January was very, very difficult for me. I didn't know it was going to be so difficult, and I really struggled even in the beginning, you know, because everything was different. I arrived in England, and it was snowing. I didn't saw snow for like 15 years, so everything was different, you know. I moved from Benfica. Benfica had a new training ground, you know, great facilities, you know, and a completely new training ground. Everything was new. We had like 6 or 7 pitches, you know, a great dressing room, bathtubs, everything, you know, top of the art. And I went to Tottenham, and the change was completely different. You know, the training ground was great, was really small, and then it's the game is different. You know, it's more physical. You need to have a strong mentality. You know, it's very fast, and I had to adapt myself very quickly, but I didn't have the time. And I think to myself, of course, it's my opinion, and I might be wrong, but it's my opinion. And I think I needed to play more to get as quickly as possible to that mentality and be ready for that. You know, I think in the first 6 months, I played a few games, some good games, and I played some good games. But it was only in the next season that I made the preseason with the team that I felt, you know, this is where I need to work myself. I had that period of 5-6 months to get ready, to understand, you know, knowing my teammates, knowing the club, knowing the fans, what was the project, you know, and get ready for the next season.
Do you think, Ricardo, you know, you say there about the January window, we hear a lot from players, well, in the past and also like in this current day, that we see some of them really struggle to be able to, like you say, adapt to come in mid-season where they haven't maybe know the Premier League, haven't had that knowledge and experience of it, and then to try and go straight into the first team. Because I remember you signed for Spurs where we had Lily King was out, and I think we just sold Callum Davenport to West Ham. So you were coming in where really, I think, our only two central defenders at the club was Anthony Gardner and Michael Dawson. So you was coming into a squad that was already, to some degree, walking wounded. Could the club have helped you behind the scenes more to have helped you settle, maybe?
No, I don't know, you know, because I had many issues as well. Those to adapt to a new country, a new league, you know, a new team, and new teammates, but you know, my daughter was 1 month old, so my family moved. You know, she was so small, and my family struggled as well, you know, to get used to live in England. So everything was together, but I had incredible support, especially from Alan Dixon, who is still in the club, and Roberto. You know, they were always there for me, helping me with everything related to my house or my family. You know, I have nothing to say about them, just to thank them for the support they gave me. But the only thing is, I don't know, honestly. I think I could have played more. It's the only thing. But it was always the choice of the manager. But the big difference for me, and I in the beginning I couldn't understand, is that it's the mentality, you know, and get used to that mentality. You know, I had the, because in Portugal, when you buy a player for good money, you know the player will play because they spent the money, you know, and he has to play. He has to play, you know, a lot. And then if he doesn't do well, okay, you know, you can take him out of the team, or he can be sold to another team. And I had to adapt myself in England, because that's not what you do in England. You can be bought for, I don't know, 10, 15 millions, but you know, you are the same as the others. You need to do your best. You need to get your place in the team, and or you need to get a chance to prove yourself and play regularly. So it was a little I'm saying it's my fault as well, because I couldn't adapt as much as I could, or as quickly as I could. It's my responsibility as well. But I always try to give my best. I always was as much professional as I could, and that's why, just to explain you guys, I was not feeling properly. So in the end of the season, I had a few teams interested in me, and I asked Comolli, you know, I know there's interest from other teams. Is it possible to be transferred? And he said, no, we know you. We know what you can do. We know what you can bring to the team. So, you know, we want you to stay with us. So, you know, I said to myself, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do a really good preseason. I'm proving myself I'm proving myself to me and to all the others, you know, the team and the fans, and let's do it. And honestly, I did a very good preseason. I played a lot of games, and I played some good games in the beginning of the next season. Unfortunately, I got to a time that I was dropped from the team, and I didn't understand why. And then I had issues with an injury I had in my ankle, and the doctor said, you know, I think it's better. And as well, and I want to explain that in the new season, we didn't start. We made a very good preseason, but we didn't start well the league. We were playing really well, but you know, it's some phases that the clubs go through and the teams go through. You play well, but then something happens and you don't win the game, or you draw the game, and then there was a lot of speculation around the club about the changing managers, about Martinez not doing well, and they wanting to bring someone. And you know, all the pressure surrounding the team with not getting results, with that pressure about changing managers. And for me, there was one thing that happened that had a big impact in me. You know, it was, my family was a weekend in Portugal, and after a game, I came here to Portugal to visit them. And then Sunday or Monday morning, I got back to England, and I was in the taxi with a friend of mine, and he just said to me, "Hey Ricardo, how are you doing? I saw an interview of you yesterday's paper." And I was like, "What? What interview?" And he said, "An interview you gave to the press." And I was like, "I didn't speak with anyone during the weekend." And he was like, "No, you did speak, because they put it in the paper that you were saying that the manager is under pressure. You could see the manager was not feeling well in the training. He was very worried." And I was like, "Whoa, how did this happen?" So in the next day, I went to the training ground and I spoke to someone in the media. And I said, "Look, supposedly there was an interview that went out yesterday about me speaking to the manager, about the manager and about the team, that I didn't do. So you need to find out what happened, because I didn't speak to anyone." So they spoke with someone about who had written the article, and the guy said that he bought the story, or he bought the interview, to a Spanish journalist. And I was like, "Well, I didn't speak to anyone, not an English journalist or a Spanish journalist." And they said, "Well, Ricardo, I don't think he's lying. And I was like, really? Are you guys going to believe the journalist and don't believe me? So I was like, how can that be possible? And I think my position was weakened in my relationship with the manager, even though I spoke with Chris Hutton at the time, who was assistant manager of Martin Yol, and said, please, tell the manager that the interview that came out, I didn't say any of that. You know, someone is trying to create any problems and with the team, but it wasn't me. I didn't say anything, you know, just to explain you guys.
That's crazy. I can't thank you enough for giving us that insight. That is crazy, because that was the period in which you was under Martin Yol. Is that right, Ricardo? Just to clarify, that was under Martin Yol.
It was the 2007-2008 season, the beginning of the season.
Okay, interesting.
And then I got injured. You know, I was not playing. I got injured and went to have surgery in Portugal because I had a problem in my ankle. And during that time, we had a changing of manager. You know, Martin Yol was sacked, and Juan de Ramos came to the team. You know. And I was recovering, and I spoke to Juan de Ramos because, you know, as Portuguese, we can play and understand Spanish, and they can do the same. And he told me, hey, Ricardo, you need to recover as quickly as possible. You know, I'm counting with you. But I think after that, it was just my downfall, unfortunately. I never had the chance to play for the club again. I was just playing reserve team. I never get the chance to play. To play again, and then I can go through this and tell you guys already. In the end of that season, I haven't played any football and first team football, just reserve team to get fit. And then when the season finished, I went to Damien Kemoli and said, Damien, please, you know, I don't feel happy here. My family is not happy here, so I just want to leave. Please let me go. I don't want any money from you guys. You can take the money I had still in my contract. I still had 1 year left in my contract, and another year option for the club. And I said, look. And he said, do you have any club to go? I said, no, I don't have any offers, but I just want to leave. Please, I just want to leave. And he said, no, Ricardo, you know, you still have market value. We still can get good money for you. So we'll try. And, then I had an offer from an English club, a Premier League club. I went there to speak with the manager. We understood each other. And then I heard that Tottenham was asking for too much money. And then for me, the worst for me, I tell you guys, was I have everything done with a Spanish club, a La Liga club. I was talking my agent was talking with them. Everything was settled. I just had 1 year left in my contract, so they were trying to get the deal done with Tottenham, paying some money. But I would go play for them on loan, I think. But as it was my last year, I would stay with them. And I really wanted to go because the offer I had from the La Liga club was better than I was getting at Tottenham. And this went through all the transfer window. And it got to the last day on the transfer window. And I got a call from the sporting director at La Liga club, and he said, Ricardo, we really wanted you. We did everything we could, but we cannot make a deal with Tottenham. So we have to go and get someone else. And that's it. You know, the window closed. And 2 days later, they sent me to the reserve team.
If it makes you any better, Ricardo, this does feel very similar to what we read about Spurs even now in the transfer market. It's crazy, crazy.
They came to me the next day and said, oh, Ricardo, we have a championship club that wants you on loan. And I said, how is that possible? You didn't let me go to a La Liga club that really wanted me and I was going to play. And now you're telling me that I can go to a championship club? I said, no way, I'm not going. You know, I'm not going, but I stayed with the reserve team. You know, I was as professional as I could, did my best, went to training. My head was gone. You know, I was completely devastated. No confidence at all. I tell you, I was worse than a Sunday League player. And sorry, all the Sunday League players, you know, I really like you guys. You enjoy yourselves. But I was at my worst, you know. I didn't enjoy football anymore. But, you know, Tottenham was paying me, so I had to give my best in every training and be as professional as I could. And we changed manager again. Redknapp came in and took us from the reserve team to the first team, and that was a great gesture from Harry Redknapp, and that was it. You know, I never played for the club again. I still went to a few games to the bench. I was with the first team, but never played for the club again. And it was really, really difficult for me. I know. I had a few issues a few years ago. We saw some Tottenham fans at Twitter. They were saying, "Oh, you can, you know, you were paid for the club." But I was as professional as I could. When there was someone in the club, in a higher position, that came to me and said, "Thank you, Ricardo, because you were a very good professional. You know, it was very difficult for you. You never played, but you were always training. You were always on time, and you didn't make any problems with us." So, you know, and it was good, you know, because I gave a good image of me, the best I could. But it was really, really difficult, and you know, I feel I could have got could have done much better at the club. And you know, it's a very good club, and I always cheer for them, and I wish them well.
One of the managers, as you mentioned, you played under was Martin Jol, who's a guy that lots of Spurs fans really did enjoy like supporting his teams. The season that you joined, he was looking to improve upon his fifth place finish in the Premier League that season. What was it like for you playing under Martin Jol?
He had a good relationship with all the players. He wanted to do well. Training was really good. Chris Sutton was his assistant. You know, and we had a very good relationship with him. As you said, the club was trying to push for the fifth place and trying to be closer to the top four, which was not easy. But we had a great team. Honestly, we had Berbatov was amazing. Ledley King was just unbelievable. Let me say that, you know, he's a great example as a captain, as a player, and even as a person. You know, he wouldn't train because he had issues with the injury, but you know, he could play, and he was so good. You know, I feel a little bit sorry for him, just in the way that he could have been a top player, and the injuries that he had, you know, stop him from being at the top. But even though injured, he could play so well, and it was amazing to be a teammate of his. And then we had the young players at the time, you know, Aaron Lennon, Tom Huddleston was amazing, Michael Dawson as well. You know, we had a great team, really great team with a lot of quality. And I think we at the time we did very well to the position that we were. And I think it's always, you know, you always build up for the future. And I think the time that we had, or the problems or the issues that we had at the time, was good for the long project that the club had. And honestly, it was good because after a few years, you know, we won the League Cup, and then we got closer to the top four and fighting for the league a few years ago.
Being in that dressing room where you saw obviously Martin end up losing his job, as a player, what was going through your mind at that moment? Did you know in the heart of hearts that Martin was losing that dressing room? I mean, the night which he lost it, I don't know if you can remember, it was that UEFA Cup game we had against Getafe, where it felt a lot of the stadium knew that Martin was going to lose his job. I just wonder, amongst the players, how cautious were you? Was you really aware of that?
About Martin Jol, I can tell you, because at the time I was I got my surgery in Portugal, so I was recovering from my surgery in Portugal, so I don't know what was happening in the in the club and in the team. I know that since the beginning of the season, you know, there was a little bit of there was pressure. You know, people in the press speaking about, you know, getting a new manager, and you know, you can feel it. And when things don't go well, results wise, you know, the team getting results, you know, that pressure intensifies. And the talking intensifies, because we got to a point before I got I got my surgery that we felt that that was going to happen, day in or day out, the changing of manager. And it was just a time to the team to lose a few games and the staff doing it, and they changed it, the manager.
You mentioned about the change of manager, Wando Ramos. Tell us about him. You didn't really get much of a looking under him, Ricardo. Why do you think was that? Was there a reason behind that? Can you put your finger as to why? We know, having spoken to some other Spurs players, that the regime completely changed. A lot of the diet also changed as well under Wando Ramos. Obviously, it was difficult because he didn't speak English. It was obviously being translated through Gus Poyet. What was that like when he came to the club? Did you feel you wasn't given a fair chance under him?
Oh, okay, he couldn't speak English very well, but his assistant, I don't know his name, sorry about that, at the time, but Poirier did. We had a great relationship with Poirier. I had a great relationship with Poirier because we could speak English and Spanish. And we all knew the career that Poirier had as a player. And he was closer to the players as well, which is normal, you know. One of the assistants be more close to the team to find out what's happening and to have the confidence of the players. But I think what you pointed out are the reasons that I think he was not successful. He tried to change so many things, you know, about the way the team played, about the way the players played, and the diet. I think the diet it was a major issue for what he wanted, you know, the changes that he wanted. He brought a doctor from a nutritionist from Spain to try and help him with that. But I think it was a lot of changes, and he just got the job, you know. And but yeah, it was his options. He thought that he had to do the same that as he did, and successfully. In Spain with Sevilla or Betis Sevilla, I don't remember well. Sorry about that. But he thought it was his idea, his project for the club. He had the support of the board, and he tried to do it. But you know, he wasn't successful. I don't know why I didn't play with him. I was out until I think December or January, and. And I didn't play, as I told you before. I didn't play until the end of the season. I spoke with him when I asked Damien to leave the club. And he said, you know, Ricardo, I'm not counting with you for the next season. To speak with Gomoli about that and letting you go. I didn't even make... They went to the next year preseason, 2008-2009, they went to the preseason to Spain. I stayed and did the preseason myself with the reserve team. And I thought I was sure that my time at the club was finished, but unfortunately, they didn't let me go.
Now, during your time at Spurs, you obviously played with some fantastic players, the likes of Lenny King, Robbie Keane, Berbatov, and Aaron Lennon. Who do you rank as kind of your best Spurs teammate you played with?
Well, they were amazing, you know, and it was great to see the young guys. You know, Huddleston was so, you know, it's so. I still laugh myself because it was the way he shoots or the way he passes is just unbelievable. You know, Lennon was very fast, but Robbie Keane and Berbatov, not depreciating anybody else that was in the team, you know, but. They were different level, and Kino went to Liverpool, and then Berbatov after one or two seasons went to Manchester United. But you know, we had a lot of quality and a lot of good players. You know, we had young players. Tarabt was amazing. I still speak with him today because he's playing Benfica. He's doing very well now, playing a different position than he did in the years he played in England. We speak sometimes when I go to see the games or some event with Benfica, because you know we lived in the same. In the same block of apartments or houses. I think it was Rosebery Square near the training ground. So I gave him some rides home many times, and we were friends with him and his brother. But we had a great team. I'm not remember more players, but I know we had them. And then I still played with Bale at the time. You know, he was so young. Even Modric and so many amazing players. Even Bale, he struggled in the beginning, and when Harry Redknapp went to the club, that's when he exploded. You know, sometimes you need changes. Sometimes you're not doing well in a team, and you need to change to another team, do well, and maybe come back. And I think sometimes the boards or the sporting directors, they need to know that they need to acknowledge that. And we have the example of Kabul. You know, he was not doing well. He went to Portsmouth. They did a great season, and then he came back. Sometimes players, when they don't adapt to a team, they need some changes, and maybe come back in the future, or go to another club and do well. That happens very often.
Fast forwarding, Ricardo, you've very kindly given us such an insight there into what it was like in that Spurs dressing room. But you obviously, as you mentioned, you only played just the 5 games of Spurs in between that period of 2007 to 2008. You played none whatsoever in all competitions in the following season. You were eventually released on the 14th of June 2009. If we would ask you then to kind of sum up your time at Spurs, is there regrets of you making that move when you kind of look back now and you've talked us through so many different stories about what happened at the club, how things could have been different? Any regrets from your perspective?
No, I don't think so. No, I cannot have any regrets. I wished things would have gone better for me. Play more for the club, helping the club in the objectives they had to, for the seasons, doing well. I was, they paid some good money for me, so I wanted to give back the investment and the opportunity to play for Spurs. And that's the only regret. That's responsibility of me, of course, because I needed to do better. I needed to prove myself, but it didn't happen, unfortunately. That's the only regret I have.
Before the show, I was speaking to one of my Portsmouth friends, and he spoke very highly of you. You, of course, had a fantastic relationship at your next club with their supporters. I know one incident that happened was in a 2-2 draw with Southampton, of course, in the fierce South Coast derby. You ended up kicking the ball at the supporters, a moment that one of my friends very much enjoyed. So what was it? What was your time like at Portsmouth? And can you recall that moment?
Yeah, let me explain. So after I finished my contract at Tottenham, it was very difficult for me because teams didn't know what was happening with me. I was a year and a half without playing any football, just reserve team. So I had a interest from teams, but they didn't know how I was. They thought, maybe the injury I had was still giving me problems. So they were asking me to go. And I didn't enjoy that, so I waited, and then I got the opportunity to go to Belgium to play in Standard Liège. They had the opportunity to play for, I think, for the first time in many years in the Champions League. I had the experience, I knew the manager, so he brought me there. But it was really difficult for me, and I played some good games, Champions League as well, but Standard Liège was very good for me to get back in the game, to get confident, to physically get ready for the top level. But then we had a very young team, and when it got to January, I thought, I need another change. Now I'm ready to go somewhere else and do well. And then in the last day, of the transfer window, I got a call from someone saying, you know, Portsmouth are interested. They are struggling in the season. They are struggling financially, but it might be a good opportunity for you. And I was like, you know, this is the time. You know, it's the time to go back to England, to prove myself, to show that, you know, I had the ability and the capacity to play in the Premier League and do well. So I'm going for it, and it all went through. I got the opportunity. I played a lot in those 5-6 months in Portsmouth, even though with all the problems financially, and so the semi-final of the FA Cup against Spurs, and I was like, oh my God! So I need to do this. You know, I need to play the perfect game. You know, to show the Spurs fans that you know, I had the quality to play for Spurs, and unfortunately I didn't. You know, I wasn't lucky my time at Spurs, but I wanted a little bit to show them the kind of player I was and what I could have done at the club in my time. And you know, where Portsmouth won, I was the man of the match, and then we went to play the final against Chelsea. And then the next season we went down and we played against Southampton, you know, big rivals of Portsmouth. I had that issue with kicking the ball to the Saints fans. You know, I wanted to hit the publicity board and I missed, so I hit the fans. I went there to apologize, and they were like, they wanted to come into the pitch and
they wanted
fight
to kill
me.
You.
Yeah, I was ready for anything that could have happened. I was ready, but you know, I didn't mean that. I was just trying to hit the publicity board. But you know, big rivals, you know, a lot of pressure, and you know, just saying that you guys, that my time at Spurs was at Portsmouth was completely different. You know, I felt really good. I played my best, and that's why I stayed so long with the club. That's why I have a great relationship with the fans. I always stayed to help the club. You know, my family was well settled. My kids were in school. They loved the school, so it was completely different from my time at Spurs. Unfortunately, because we as players, we always want to do well. But unfortunately, sometimes it's not possible.
Can I ask you, Ricardo, one question just on your time at Portsmouth? And as you mentioned, it came against Spurs in that FA Cup semi-final where I was there. I was at Wembley when you broke our hearts. And you mentioned there about, for you, it was all about that game proving that you were good enough to have played for Tottenham. Just how fired up were you for that game? Because like you said, you ended as the player of the match. Kevin Prince-Boateng, who also was a Spurs player, actually scored against us in that game. Mentally was you prepared to face Spurs after what you've told us you've gone through at the club previously?
I was fired up. You know, I wanted to prove myself. You know, I wanted to show myself to the Spurs fans, and it was a great opportunity for that. Of course, we were the underdogs, and you know, Tottenham was a massive. They had a big team. You know, with Crouch, Defoe. I didn't mention Defoe when I was a Spurs. He was unbelievable. Sorry for that. Defoe, Bale. You know, we were the underdogs. So for me as a defender was better because I was a lot in the game because you know Tottenham was always attacking and we were just counter attacking. Sorry. So it was the perfect game for us defenders, and you know I did my best because I really wanted to prove myself, and it was the best opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, we played in that half a season that was a Portsmouth. We played the Spurs, but I was injured. And I couldn't play in White Hart Lane. I wanted to play against Spurs that game, but you know I was injured and I couldn't.
Now, of course, currently at Spurs in charge is a fellow countryman of yours. I'm sure a guy that you know very well, Jose Mourinho. He's obviously had a mixed time this season at Spurs. You know, he's had some brilliant moments and then some moments that maybe been slightly questionable. Do you believe he's still a manager that's capable of making it to the top and winning trophies for Spurs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's the one, you know, he's the special one. is amazing, and his CV and the title, the titles that he won proves everything related to him as a manager. You know, I think he's been very unlucky at Spurs with all the injuries, with all the, you know, they don't have a big squad, and I think that's been the problem at Spurs this season. Of course, you know, it's difficult to take over a club and a team that did so well under Pochettino, that it did an amazing job at Spurs. But I think they wanted to go a little bit further. But I think, honestly, they need to give Jose Mourinho time to build the team, time to put the team the way he wants. It's not something that can be done quickly. You know, he needs time, but he needs to be given that time. And everybody needs to be supportive, the fans, the board, and to be close to the top four and even fight for the title in the Premier League. He needs some big support.
Ricardo, I just want to say thank you ever so much for taking out this time and for telling us your journey. I think many people will find this quite fascinating to listen to, especially that period at Tottenham where I think, like you said there, you had that maybe issue in the past on Twitter and whatever with different Spurs fans. I think football, when you'll be able to tell this more than us, being a player, when you've got journalists that come at you and you've got fans, not everybody knows the full story. How good is it for you to be able to, yeah, be able to give you that opportunity then for you to tell that story? Are you quite happy that nowadays, do you get the opportunity enough to be able to give your reflection on the game? What do you think now, as when you was a player to now, how much has it changed?
I think now you can speak with you can speak everything about your career and what happened. I think that's not a problem. We spoke about doing this podcast. I spoke about doing this podcast with you, and I was surprised. You know, why do you want to speak with me? Because my time at Spurs wasn't good. But as you said, you know, maybe people want to know what happened and why. Because I did so well in Portugal with Benfica. And then I did well with Portsmouth as well. And why it didn't happen and at Spurs? But sometimes, as I told you, doing this, you know, there's some teams that you go and things don't work out, and then other teams, there's always a lot of things that happen, and people don't realize. You know, fans don't realize. I think sometimes confidence is so important to a player. And if he doesn't have the confidence, if he doesn't have the support of his teammates or the manager or the assistant manager, it's very difficult for them to do well. So I look at football nowadays differently because I was there. I went through a lot during my career, and I have all the experience. And that's why I always try to explain a little bit how it is for us players that were there, that played, that got through a lot in their careers, because it's always completely different from what the fans want. But, you know, I understand the fans part, because they only see what they see, and they only listen what people tell them, you know, even if it's journalists or something they heard. But most of the times, it's not as well as people say, or is not as well as people see. I hope you understand me.
We do. About it. Ricardo, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. And OJ also wants to thank you so much for taking out your time to come and speak with us on this special interview.
Yeah, that was really interesting to hear from you, Ricardo. I thought it was some really interesting stories about your time from Spurs. I just think, you know, you mentioned that story about how, you know, fans don't know all the ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes. I think that kind of raises a similar issue with some current Spurs players, I think, and Ndombele is certainly one of them. So to kind of hear that sort of perspective was really interesting. And, you know, I hope that Spurs fans can kind of take that message and maybe apply it to a couple of current players. But yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Ricardo in this show.
Thank you so much again, Ricardo. Really, really appreciate it. Been a pleasure having you on The Last Word on Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.